If a loved one has dementia, there may come a day that they can no longer live in their home. When that day came for my parents, actually it was overnight. The task of figuring out how to sort through their things so I could sell their home landed with a giant thud right in my lap. I was overwhelmed and I had no idea where to start or the emotional bandwidth to even figure it out. And it can happen to you too, unless you have a goal and a plan and maybe even a pro. So the good news is that there are, in fact, professional downsizers out there, and mine was indispensable. She not only walked me through the process, but also managed the entire effort, from sorting to donating to selling and even coordinating movers. And today, I'm so happy to welcome my personal sanity saver, Cindy Murphy, owner and founder of Downsizing Simplified. Welcome, Cindy.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just dive right in here. Talk a little bit about what you do so people understand, because I didn't even know that professional downsizing was a thing.
Well, what we do is we help people through the process steps of downsizing. We assess their needs, then we work closely with them depending on those needs to get them from point A to point B to point Z, depending on what their needs are. And then we tailor our services to fit those needs.
Let's talk about a typical situation in contrast to my atypical emergency, oh my goodness, situation.
Yours was an emergency situation for sure. You were up against the wall with the tasks that you had to complete in a timely manner, a rushed manner. Typically, most of our clients have a little more breathing room, okay? So we're able to actually sit down with them, put a plan in place based on what their needs are going to be. So if they have a move date, for instance, already scheduled, we're able to work with them on backing off that move date and putting a plan in place with goals attached for them to be able to achieve success, okay? In your situation, we were kind of running in circles a little bit. Mm-hmm. We had to take a couple deep breaths and really figure it out. It was hard. It was hard for you, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, I could not have done it without you. I mean, mm-hmm. I literally... And you'll remember, I just shut down in the middle of it so many times because here's this huge house full of stuff. I didn't even know half of this stuff was there. And then remember the basement that was also full of an entire house full of stuff, like what, 9 Christmas trees and all my dad's
shelving units full of stuff. Yes.
Shelving units with things from the 60s that I'd never seen as an adult.
Right, right.
It's crazy. And so the magnitude of, even if you're not in a crisis, of sorting through your life, because we as people tend to hold on to things. I've got childhood stuff in my attic. I've got, you know, we all have our things. What is your process for people when they're like, how do I eat this cake one bite at a time?
When I do a walkthrough, I am constantly paying attention and listening to what the client is saying. I'm picking up on distress areas in the home that may cause them a lot of angst. And I'll pick up on that and hone in on perhaps we need to start here. Perhaps we need to take this bite out of the cake first, okay? That's not always the case, but a lot of times it is. If I am noticing, and I've been doing this for 18 years, okay? So I've had a little bit of experience with paying attention to what my clients are doing and saying, and their body language, all of that comes into play. So if I am detecting that a certain area of the home, let's take the basement, for instance, with all the shelving units, that was overwhelming for you. And it was overwhelming for me too, to a certain degree. However, you have to remember, I am detached emotionally from every job that I do. That's not that I don't feel the emotion, because I do, but I am not invested as my client is. So that was kind of a roundabout way of answering where to start.
I like it, because you being detached but yet empathetic is helpful, because that's the superpower of hiring a professional, because you can guide somebody through it. And I remember at one point I was determined to figure out, well, what can sell? And, you know, because we're trying to put money in their account and they need the extra cash. And you said, there's really nothing here that's going to be worth anybody doing an estate sale or even a garage sale. So we should just move on from that. And it sort of gave me permission to let go.
Right. Another thing, and I don't know how many times I have said this over the years I've been doing this, but the asset, 99% of the time, is the home, not the stuff in it. People need to understand that. It's important that people realize that the stuff in the house may bring you a dollar here, a dollar there, whatever it adds up to. It is nowhere near what the actual property value is. So
that's brilliant. That's I just wrote that down. Unless you've
right.
got a multi-million dollar art collection in your home.
Exactly. And nobody does. I mean, hardly anyone.
So our listeners, there are people like me who had to deal with a parent or a loved one, or maybe it's a spouse or whatever, with, even if they do have some lead time, there's still that kind of emotional, oh, how do I approach this? And what do I keep and what do I sort? And you were so good about, I remember, like, we had piles of this is what we're, you need to look at this, Laura, and let's sort this into, we're going to keep it, or we're going to give it away, or we're going to trash it. Like, talk about how you sort of encircle that chaos with sorting, so that listeners can kind of have at least a somewhat of a clue at how to approach this.
Right. We'll take a kitchen, for instance. Okay. I remember that we went through every cabinet, every drawer. We had to, the pantry. That gives you the opportunity not only to say they're not going to be cooking, they're not moving somewhere where they can cook, I don't need any of this stuff, I'm fine with the stuff I have already in my kitchen. But again, at least it gives the client that opportunity to say yay, nay. Now, here's where I rely on my expertise. I move that process along pretty quick.
You do.
You have to. You cannot drag your feet. Well, let's talk about this china cup and saucer. No, here it is. Do you want it or not? There's no real value to it, so we're going to put it in the donate pile. Knowing your stuff, knowing the worth of things, and being able to move the process quickly through. Let's talk about your mom's closet. Okay. A lot of clothes. There were some things that you wanted to pull out of that closet for her to wear and for your dad also. But I remember her closet being exceptionally full. And that, you know, that's where you just, you get in the groove, you're motivated, and you move.
I would say after week two or three of us doing this work, I got a lot better about making the pile of stuff to give away and getting more detached. And then it sort of became a little bit like a treasure hunt. I mean, on a truncated scale, but it was like, oh my goodness, look at this. I remember this. This was my granddad's, and I saw it when I was five. Knowing your stuff and room by room, like focus on one room at a time,
Exactly.
that was That was fantastic. And for me, it was also kind of overwhelming because it gave me a glimpse into, on my mom's side, who she was the higher functioner for so long, of how her dementia had affected her in a way I did not know. Because you said closet's full, which is being generous. Her closet was a piled high mess. And she kept buying clothes because she couldn't see what she had because it was in a pile because she couldn't hang it up. She couldn't remember to hang it up or to wash it. Or it was like, oh, I had no idea. God bless her. She was really struggling. And to remind listeners, this was all right post-COVID. So they wouldn't allow us in, she wouldn't allow us in the home until they had vaccines. And so there was almost a year that went by that I didn't get in their home. And in that 1 year, everything changed. Hey, listeners, I'm hitting a quick pause here to say if this entire process seems overwhelming, you are definitely not alone. I felt the same way until I met Cindy. Working with her gave me a glimpse into how an organizer might approach an emergency situation like mine, or even a not quite as urgent emergency like mine. So visit my website and read the blog, Oh No, All This Stuff Has Got to Go, for what I learned, some tips, and more. And now back to the podcast. So for me, oh my God, gotta get him out. I live 45 minutes away, still working full time. You made all that really manageable for me. How can someone in my shoes, in their town, in their community, seek out a professional, and what should they have their head wrapped around, what they want that professional to do? Not everybody, I would imagine, can respond to help me like you did, really, or maybe they can.
Well, and if you remember, I was a referral to you from
Yes,
a
you were.
mutual acquaintance. And that's always a great way to go if you can do that. But most of the time, that doesn't happen. If you are in a situation similar to what you were in, you've got to remember to breathe. Okay. You've got to remember, and maybe this is sit down and make a list. Not a to-do list, or maybe a to-do list, but what I need help with. These are the areas that I cannot manage myself. I've got to have help. You are an only child, okay? So let's talk about that real quick. That is a plus and a minus. It's a plus because you didn't have to have a bunch of siblings chiming in on every decision that you make. Okay. On the other flip side of that, you probably at one point or another wished you would have had a sibling or two. Okay. But you didn't. My suggestion is find out what you need help with. Is it sorting, paring down? Is it help with finding a place for them to move to? You need to have your list of this is what I need before you start reaching out. I would also suggest that you talk to more than one professional because this is a very important working relationship and you do not want regrets. Make sure they know what they're doing. You know, I got to say this. Your gut tells you immediately, do I like this person? Do they know what they're doing? Do they impress me with their knowledge? Those kinds of questions are very important because this is very stressful. As far as finding in their community, I would go online and just Google downsizing help or assistance or however you want to phrase that in your town or city.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. I mean, and you're going to be working together for a little bit of time, so you have to have a good vibe with that person
Oh, definitely.
and trust, right? And
Right.
I would think too, specifically asking for help with when it's with seniors, neighbors who just moved in down the street from us. They're a couple in their late 30s. Well, they got a whole lot less stuff than we do in our mid 60s, and we had a whole lot less stuff than mom and dad did in their 80s. So, less likely to be overwhelmed, right? If you specialize. I have a friend whose grandfather, his wife died almost 2 years ago. And so now he is wanting to go through his house to make sure that the kids and grandkids aren't suddenly stuck with going through and doing what I had to do in an emergency situation. So he wants to get ahead of it, but he's overwhelmed and he starts thinking about, I need to downsize, and he gets stuck. And I think there's a lot of us like that. What advice would you give?
It's never too early to start. That's my advice. Okay. I don't care if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, you have got to start somewhere. If you feel that way about your family members having to deal with your stuff after you're gone, turning 60, retiring, and on and on and on. You walk through a room and your stuff bugs you, or the vibe is bad, or it's like, I'm sick and tired of looking at this stuff. You know, that's that inner voice saying, it's time, you know. So, and again, we help a lot of folks who aren't necessarily moving, like this gentleman, but they want to get a leg up on starting that downsizing process. Going ahead and starting to sort and pare down, making decisions, having the kids in. You know, there's a whole thing around that. It's just, but that is the smartest thing that people can do.
Start by assessing what you have. Go room by room so that it's manageable. Think about what you want to keep and what you want to donate and let your family help. I'd like to know, Cindy, how you got into doing this.
Oh, well, with my mom and my dad, he had dementia. She was his caretaker. He passed away, and she stayed in the house for a year after he died. And then all of a sudden, one day called us up and said, I'm moving to John Knox, which is a retirement community in the Kansas City area. And we're like going, yay, because we worried so much about her being alone in the home and that sort of thing. Well, long story short, there was so much help that she needed. Okay. And I got to thinking, this is my mom. I mean, I know there's other people that could use a service like this. And that's where it all started. She's been gone almost 10 years now. But we got her moved. We got her packed up. We got her settled in, got that house sold. Boom. It was done. And it was such a good feeling. That's how it all started all those years ago. I do have to say one thing about your situation, if I might.
Sure.
It's one thing to deal with one parent with dementia, but you dealt with two. And that was a monumental task. Now, they were not in the home when I got involved. Okay. You had found them an assisted living community that we moved them into. But I think about the times where I was involved with a family or a couple where, and it was the wife in both situations, had dementia. And I would show up and work, but the family wouldn't stick around. Okay. I'd leave for the day, come back the next day, and they would have unpacked everything I had packed the previous day.
Oh, no.
So I had to put my foot down with this one couple in particular and say, this won't happen again. She cannot help the fact that her curio cabinet doesn't look the same as it always has. You have got to stick around while I'm here, or I have to go ahead and leave the job. Okay, that's sunk in. But the other one, the family said, well, we can't, there's no way we could do that. So we'll take it from here. Okay, that's fine. So when I'm called into situations like that, it's like, you've got to be present while I'm working, and then you've got to monitor what's going on after I leave, you know.
Gosh. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, my dad would have been following right behind me, putting stuff back.
Right. And that's what happens,
Sure.
you know.
It's my
Yeah, but
stuff. It's my stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
So dealing with dementia is tough. You know, it's so tough.
Thank you for
Okay,
that.
see you. All
Bye.
right. Bye-bye.
And that concludes this episode of Dementia, Damn It, featuring my guest, Cindy Murphy, of Downsizing Simplified. If you take away only one thing today, I hope it's this nugget that Cindy shared. It's never too early to start. And I'll add, especially if your loved one is showing signs of dementia. In that case, start right now. Have a question or something you'd like to share? Leave me a note in the comments section of this podcast so I can respond in a future episode. For more podcasts, blogs, and helpful info, including how to spot the signs of dementia, check out my website at dementiadammit.com. That's dementia, DAMMIT.com. And remember, if someone you love has dementia, it is possible to navigate the storm without losing yourself in the process. Thanks for listening. Dementia Damn It is a trademark of Laura Lynch. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute professional advice. Content is based on current information which may be subject to change. Speakers are not responsible for any actions taken based on the information provided.